Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The congregation here tonight, we have a precious name or title given to Christ. Fitly he is called Wonderful, because he is. And as we consider the things done by him, they are marvellous or wonderful. Now he was always wonderful. However, as we come to our text tonight and we consider the connection we have in view that a child was born and the son was given, and this child and this son would be called wonderful. You notice the connection here. He always was wonderful. But in light of these words, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And so, considering the context here, we come to consider in our series tonight, why Christ came. Jesus came to be known as Wonderful. And as we will consider later, John Calvin brings this out. The Lord is wonderful, particularly to his people. And we know him to be so because he came into this world. He lived here upon earth. And he's made himself known to us. He is wonderful. Well, it's a precious title given to Christ. He has it and he deserves it. Listen to the Puritan Matthew Henry. He wrote this. Justly he is called Wonderful. And as we consider that he came into the world, and what he did for us, has he not made himself known to us as the one that is wonderful? Well, we have here the name Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Literally from the Hebrew, it can be translated correctly here as wonderful. A marvellous thing, extraordinary, distinguished, wonderful, marvellous. Now he is, as we will consider in a moment. But let's consider a little further this word here. And in the meaning here, in the Hebrew, we're led to consider it is so marvellous that it's hard to take it in. We know him to be wonderful, but he's so wonderful, we can hardly grasp it. We can hardly take it in. Remember the words of the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, he's so taken up with Christ. The unspeakable gift. And what can we really say? There's not enough words, is there, to consider him and what he is like and words of praise towards him. He's wonderful. We will discover afresh he is wonderful. But oh, we can hardly take it in. He's so wonderful, so marvellous, We've only just begun to consider how marvellous the Lord Jesus Christ is. Even if we have walked with the Lord for many years, we've only just begun. And truly we can say tonight, he's so wonderful. There's so much more to take in. We can hardly grasp it, how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. So he is wonderful, but looking at the word, we're led to consider that he is so wonderful, we can hardly take it in. And I tell you, when you see the Lord, dear child of God, you'll consider he is wonderful, and you'll hardly be able to take it in as you gaze at his lovely face and look on his lovely eyes. Wonderful. Marvellous. Well, let's open this up tonight briefly. First of all, wonderful in himself. Secondly, wonderful whilst here upon earth. That's a particular connection here, isn't it? But then thirdly, wonderful in heaven. He's still wonderful. He's wonderful here upon earth. He's still wonderful in heaven. And fourthly, if time permits, wonderful to the believer. Wonderful to the believer. Well, first of all, then, wonderful in himself. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful. Wonderful in himself. Consider his person and his attributes. He is God. Just notice verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. In a moment we'll consider that he took human nature. Miraculous, wonderful that was. But let's just consider him. He is God, the Mighty God. Verse 6. And rightly he has that name, Emmanuel. God with us, as we see in Matthew 1. That's wonderful, isn't it? He who took human nature was God the Son. We can hardly take it in, can we? Wonderful, we can hardly understand it. Yes, we believe it, we have some understanding, but we can hardly take it in that he who is our Saviour, he who died upon the cross, is God the Son. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No doubt about it. His name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, he's so great. Just consider he is God. He is the true and the living God. Jeremiah 10 verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He's true. He's there now. What a comfort that is at the beginning of the week. He's wonderful. He's there. He's God. He's alive. He's the Creator. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. What a God he is. Westminster Shorter Catechism writes, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable, no bounds to God, absolutely eternal, unchangeable, wonderful. In view of him, he who is God the Son, what do we read in Hebrews 13 verse 8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's wonderful, isn't he? He doesn't change. Men can change, but not our God. Not our Saviour. For he is God. We see that in our text. But he is also man. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulder, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. He's the Mighty God. But we consider also that he took human nature. That's wonderful, isn't it? We know it to be true. His name is Emmanuel. We know he is God, and he is man. But it's wonderful, isn't it? He is wonderful. Christ, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, took human nature. And so we read in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, God was manifest in the flesh. That's wonderful, isn't it? No wonder he's given the title wonderful. Just pause again. You think of the word wonderful? Yes, he is, but we consider he's so wonderful we can hardly take it in. And as we think of his incarnation, it's wonderful, isn't it? But it's so wonderful we can really hardly take it in. God was manifest in the flesh. Two distinct natures were inseparably joined together in one person, that being the second person of the Godhead, God the Son. He is God, he is man. He took human nature. He took a true body and a reasonable soul. What can we really say tonight but this? Wonderful! It's really hard to take it in, but we know it to be true, and we're so thankful, aren't we? He took a true body, we know that, a reasonable soul. He who was God took human nature, a true body and a reasonable soul, so he could weep for you. That's wonderful, isn't it? No wonder, do you understand this? Well, we think of the incarnation of Christ, his name shall be called Wonderful. He came to be known as Wonderful. Joseph and Mary knew it. The shepherds knew it. Simeon knew it. Wonderful. Just think of Simeon. He held the Lord in his arms. Oh, what must he have been thinking? Wonderful. This is amazing. He who is God is also man. Wonderful. Well, as we think, he took human nature in order to save. His name shall be called Wonderful. It was necessary he took human nature so he could suffer and die on the cross in the place of others. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Watson. Admire the love of Christ our mediator, that he should humble himself and take our flesh, that he might redeem us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Why? Because he came to redeem his people. And the government should be upon his shoulder, and his name should be called Wonderful. As we think that Christ came into the world to save sinners, he took human nature to save a wretch like me. His name is Wonderful. You're getting the picture building here. Jesus came to be known as Wonderful, and we agree with that. He is Wonderful. Oh, what a truth it is here. But we can't take it all in, can we? So wonderful. We'll be taken up with him throughout all eternity, and we were never weary with the thought of Jesus, that he came into the world to save such as us, that he took human nature. We'll see him in glory, and we'll just think, wonderful. We'll see the nail prints, and we'll think, wonderful. Jesus came to be known as Wonderful. He is God and he is man, as we see in our text. He is the mediator, prophet, priest and king. Wonderful. What a mediator. Through him we have access. Through him our prayers are heard. He is the mediatorial prophet who has spoken to us. He is the priest that gave up, that died for us, offered up himself for us, but continues to make intercession for us. He offered up himself here upon earth. He did it all. But still, he is that priest that makes intercession. He is the king. Wonderful. Consider who he is then. Wonderful. Do you see why it's a fitting title for Christ? Wonderful. But then consider what he is like, particularly his attributes. Think of his grace. What do we often hear at the end of the service? And I'm so thankful. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace, the favour. It's wonderful, isn't it? We need grace tonight and tomorrow. Grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said this before. I don't want you to go home hearing the words of the preacher. I want you to go home with the last words you hear is the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need and that's what you'll have. And it's wonderful, isn't it? He's so kind, so gracious, as we will consider in a moment. Consider then his love, so great. Remember the Apostle Paul, he was thinking of the dimensions of the love of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Just think of the dimensions, so great, wonderful. Do you see that there? To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. There's the Apostle Paul, he's so taken up with the love of Christ. To know that which passeth knowledge. Similar to wonderful, isn't it? He is wonderful, but we can hardly take it in. How wonderful, how marvellous, how wonderful, how marvellous is his love to me and to you, dear child of God. Think of the dimensions of his love. We can never get around it or escape it. Are we not thankful for that? It reaches right down to us. We could be in the depths, but there the love of Christ finds us. Oh, his love is over us. That's wonderful, isn't it? Think of his mercy, his compassion, his pity. He came into the world, as we saw earlier in this series, so that he might have a fellow feeling of our infirmities. What do we read in Hebrews 4, verse 15? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What compassion! Oh, he came, he took human nature, so he would understand us in a very precious way, so he would have a fellow feeling. He understood us as God before he came. He's still God. But he took human nature so he would understand us in that precious way, having a fellow feeling, as the Westminster Divines put it. That's wonderful, isn't it? He who was born at Bethlehem took human nature so he would so feel for us. He knew what it was to be weary, to cry, so he so understands us. He knew what it was to shed tears, so he understands us when the tears flow down our cheeks. Wonderful. Paul, think of his mercy then. It's wonderful. Well, wonderful in himself. But let's move on more briefly now and consider, secondly, wonderful whilst here upon earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He came to be known as Wonderful. How Mary and Joseph must have just considered him with such amazement. Marvellous is this child. Wonderful. We'll consider, he who created the world was born into this world, having taken human nature. He was laid in a manger. No wonder his name is called Wonderful. What condescension. He who was rich became poor. Wonderful. He was here upon earth. Wonderful. And then consider, he grew. That's wonderful, isn't it? We can hardly take that in. He who is God in his human nature grew. So what do we read in Luke 2 verse 40? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The child grew. I can't say any more but this tonight. Wonderful, isn't he? We mustn't try to go any further to really understand that, because we haven't got the minds to understand it, but we have the mind to say this about it. He's wonderful. The child grew. That's amazing, isn't it? Wax strong in spirit, that's amazing. Filled with wisdom, that's wonderful, isn't it? And the grace of God was upon him. Consider how he worked alongside Joseph in the carpenter's place. That's wonderful, isn't it? He worked with his hands. Long days, working hard. Wonderful, isn't it? That's amazing, isn't it? He spake and the world was made. He spake there in the beginning. He spake as God. But think of him in his human nature working long hours with his hands. Wonderful. And then think of the miracles he performed, such as the feeding of the 5,000. Wonderful. how he raised certain ones from the dead, like Lazarus. Lazarus will come up, hearing the voice of the Son of God. Wonderful. Consider how he healed the brokenhearted here upon earth. Yes, we can consider he still does it, doesn't he? And we're thankful for that. But consider how he came to heal the brokenhearted in Luke 4, verse 16. All were broken hearts were healed by Jesus, crushed by sin, but then they knew that peace of forgiveness. And those that loved him, crushed in affliction, he healed their broken hearts. Wonderful. What wonderful works he did. You know what it is when that wonderful work is done in your soul, you're broken. And then there's healing. Wonderful. Consider his ministry and the power of it. It stopped men in their tracks. You remember those officers who were sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees to take our Lord? They couldn't. They were stopped in their tracks. What do we read in John 7 verse 46? They're responding to the chief priests and the Pharisees when they come back. Never man spake like this man. They were just taken back by the ministry of Christ. Wonderful. How he spake and how he speaks today. And then just consider how he conducted himself in such a just and a perfect way. He did no sin, we're told in 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who did no sin. He was tempted by the devil. He did no sin. That's wonderful, isn't it? We sin. I tell you, in heaven, you're going to be amazed at seeing him. And you're going to be amazed at this, that you never sin in heaven. You're going to be amazed at that. Consider Christ. He never sinned. Here upon earth, he never sinned. That's wonderful, isn't it? He kept the law perfectly. Wonderful. But then consider here upon earth, he fully and completely suffered the penalty for the breach of the law in the place of others. He suffered as a substitute. What wonderful love, what wonderful grace, what a wonderful Redeemer who willingly suffered. He suffered the wrath of God. He faced it himself because of my sins. He died. As we think about what an amazing Saviour who suffered in our place, is he not wonderful? You consider those who are here upon earth, who were spoken to by the Lord, and who were brought to a saving knowledge of him. They thought of him as wonderful. He is my Saviour. And as we think of him here upon earth and what he did for us, and now we look up to him and consider him, are we not amazed? He is my Saviour. Wonderful. He satisfied divine justice in full. Wonderful. We could never do it throughout all of hell, eternity in hell. We could never satisfy divine justice. The Lord Jesus Christ did it. That's wonderful, isn't it? His name is wonderful. Therefore, we will never know the wrath of God. We have been saved from the wrath of God, dear child of God. Oh, what he did. But then consider, he rose victoriously from the grave. Wonderful. His name should be called Wonderful. He's alive, he's wonderful, and he's there for you. He rose victoriously. He's alive. Your faith is not in vain, dear child of God. You consider this, he is wonderful, and he has done wondrously in your life. He found you. He picked you up. He saved you. And there was forgiveness through him. Wonderful. Here upon earth. But let's consider thirdly now, wonderful in heaven. Wonderful in heaven. If you note the context here, we're considering that he came into this world, and he would be known as wonderful, where he's still known as wonderful. He ascended up into heaven. That's wonderful in itself. He was solemnly inaugurated, That's wonderful. He was crowned. And there he is reigning. Oh, consider he's receiving the praise at this moment. There are so many in heaven focusing on him at this moment, seeing him as wonderful, and he's receiving the praise, and he deserves it, does he not? He delights in receiving the praise. That's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, just think of it. He delights in us here upon earth, praising him, and in praying to him. Let me hear thy voice. Think of it in heaven. He delights to receive the praise. Wonderful. He's leading the song. He receives the praise, but he's also leading the song. Hebrews 2 verse 12. That's wonderful. So many around him, and he's leading the song. He's listening to the prayers that are offered. Hear the Lord. Let me hear thy voice. That's wonderful, isn't it? You think of him in heaven. What a comfort to know when you pray, he's listening. And he's presenting your prayer. That's wonderful. His name is wonderful, isn't it? As we think of that wonderful word, he's making intercession for you at this moment. He's pleading before the Father that you might be helped and strengthened. He reminds the Father continually of his precious blood, and so you are helped. That's wonderful, isn't it? He's appearing in heaven for us. What do we read in Hebrews 9, verse 24? For Christ is not entered into the holy places made without hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. His name is called Wonderful. He's there for us. He's the forerunner. He's gone on before. He's there for you, dear child of God. He's there in heaven for you, dear child of God, this week when you go through the valleys you go through. He's there. Wonderful in heaven. He's there for you. And consider further, he is wonderful because he's making preparation. It's all linked, isn't it? Turn to those words in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Did you notice it in verse 2 and verse 3? He's preparing. Your Saviour is preparing a place for you, dear child of God. Let me ask you, do you all know he's preparing a place? How do you know if he's preparing a place? Well, the Lord Jesus makes it plain, you believe in God, believe also in me. If you're believing, he's preparing a place for you through his mercy. That's wonderful, isn't it? To think that he is preparing a place. In the preparations, as we've already touched on, he's making intercession. He's preparing. He's making intercession. Make them more happy. Comfort them, strengthen them, help them through the valleys. And then he will make that intercession and it will prevail again and you will be brought home. But consider also, he's there. Heaven would not be prepared if our Saviour were not there. He's making preparations. He shall be called Wonderful. Now just consider when a king or a queen comes to a certain place to visit, preparations are made. Food is ordered, flowers, the red carpet is obtained and laid out. People are called upon to play instruments, some to sing. There's preparations, isn't there? How wonderful the King of Kings prepares for his subjects. That's wonderful, isn't it? Your King is making heaven ready for you. You're not there yet, but he's there. It's prepared in that sense, but he's making intercession. He's preparing heaven for you. His name shall be called Wonderful. It is, isn't it? He's there for you. He's gone on before for you. He's getting heaven ready for you. His name shall be called Wonderful. And think further, he's reigning as king, subduing a people. What a marvellous work that is. What a wonderful work. By nature, the hearts of men are rebellious. The heart of man is rebellious. But he subdues through grace. What a wonderful work. He sends forth his arrows, the arrow of conviction, the arrow of the gospel, the arrow of his love. He subdues. What a wonderful work he is doing. We considered earlier today, this afternoon, of the shepherd who goes after that which is lost until he finds. What an ongoing, wonderful work he is still doing. What a wonderful work he did in finding me. He's subduing, he's governing. That's wonderful, isn't it? Because his government is so just and good and fair. He's defending us. The Mighty One is our defence. How marvellous that is. His name should be called Wonderful, and he's still wonderful. He's wonderful in heaven at this moment. And dear child of God, when you go home, you'll know it afresh. You'll hardly be able to take it in. How wonderful he is. Well, as we close tonight, fourthly and finally, wonderful to the believer. Wonderful to the believer. Note verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful. Because he is, and he's wonderful in the things he does. He's wonderful in himself, but also he's wonderful because he makes himself known to be in the things that he does. Listen to John Calvin commenting on this verse. The prophet describes what Christ will show himself towards believers. The prophet describes what Christ will show himself towards believers. The Lord makes himself known. He does wondrously. And the believer recognizes this, and we say he's wonderful. He shall be called Wonderful. He's wonderful to the believer. He's precious. Remember those words in 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He's made himself known, isn't he? And he's precious. Precious to you. And he's wonderful. He makes himself known. And he's made himself known to you. And you have called him Wonderful. His name should be called Wonderful. They in heaven called him Wonderful. The believer calls him Wonderful. Can you say that? He is wonderful to the believer. Is Jesus wonderful to you? Is he precious to you? He's altogether lovely. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Altogether lovely. I think of him. He's wonderful. He's lovely. Never disappointed in Jesus. Wonderful. Think of his desire towards his people. That's wonderful. So was Solomon 7 verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Such a desire. You think of the husband having a desire towards his wife. Think of the beloved one having a desire towards his bride. Such a desire. Oh, to know he has such a desire to us. He so loves us. He so seeks our good. He's so kind. He comes alongside. He embraces us as we considered it at the table today. Such a desire. He desires our good, and he comes and he blesses us. Just think of it. He's looking on. He has such a desire. We call him wonderful, don't we? He never despises. He never turns away. He has such a desire to fellowship with us closely, a desire to ever love us more and more. Oh, such a desire. wonderful. Just think of his love. He's wonderful, isn't he? Oh, his love to us. He loved them unto the end. In John 13, he loved us all the way to the cross, and he's still loving us. Just think of his love. He's wonderful. How he loves me. Consider the care, how he cares for me. He's wonderful. There's no one cares for me like Jesus. You are very good at caring for me, but Jesus cares for me best. Such a caring friend. Wonderful how he comes alongside. I am so thankful he took human nature so he would have a fellow feeling of my infirmity. Oh, he's so caring. He embraces us. He shows his care. He supports. He's wonderful, isn't he? Wonderful. I know him to be wonderful, yet there's so much more. Yet I know him already to be wonderful in my life. Do you know him to be wonderful? He is, isn't he? And being wonderful, you want to know more, don't you? You're taken. You can hardly take it in, but you are taken. He's wonderful. Oh, I want to know more of him. More of his love, more of his care, more of his support, more of his favour. He's wonderful. I want to know more of this, the marvellous things about Jesus. I'm so thankful he came to be known as wonderful, and he's still known as wonderful. What a blessing to know him as wonderful, to call him wonderful. As you think of Jesus as we close tonight, can you call him wonderful? Because you know him. You have this experimental knowledge of him. You know his name, but you know him in your heart as well. He's wonderful. So call him wonderful. That's what they call him. And then they speak to him. Thou art wonderful. Can you speak to Jesus in prayer at the end of the sermon? Thou art wonderful. And I want to know more of thee. I want to know more of thy wondrous works in my life. And I long to see thee in heaven. Oh, to be taken more with Jesus. When we're taken, when we begin to understand a little more about this word wonderful, we want to know more, don't we? We want to be taken more with Jesus. In closing, dear child of God, when you see him, you will look at his face, wonderful. And his eyes, wonderful. So kind. And his eyes so full of love to me when I step into heaven. Wonderful. And then you'll take note of his hands. What a wonderful Saviour who loved me and gave himself for me. He's wonderful. And when we begin to grasp it afresh, our hearts are drawn to him. He's so glorious, isn't he? What can we say of Jesus tonight? Wonderful, can you say? Can you call him? Wonderful. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, what a privilege to be able to call him tonight. Wonderful. Lord, we thank thee for his wondrous works here upon earth. We thank thee he came into the world. And we thank thee he has made himself known to us as wonderful. And so we call him wonderful. Oh Lord, for any here tonight who cannot say he is wonderful. Oh Lord, if it please thee, open their eyes, that they may yet be able to say with us and call him wonderful. Oh Lord, as we think of this name of Jesus, we want to know more of him this week. That's a desire of our hearts. Lord, look on the desire of our hearts at the end of this service. We want to know more of him. And we're looking forward to seeing him. If his name is wonderful and we have discovered him to be wonderful, what will the sight of him be at death? But marvellous and wonderful. Lord, we are so thankful for the gospel. We who love thee here tonight, that when we die, we will just see him who is wonderful, and we'll call him wonderful. Oh, we thank thee for him. Oh, to know him more. Oh, to have that closer walk with him. And blessed Saviour, as we thought of certain things tonight, make thyself known to us this week, and in days to come, as the one who is wonderful, wonderful in grace, wonderful in mercy, wonderful in love, wonderful in thy compassion and care of us. Make thyself known, that when we are low, we might call thee wonderful. When we need direction, we might call thee wonderful. When we need that embrace, we might call thee wonderful. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our final praise is Psalm number 8, verses 1 to 5, to the tune Winchester. How excellent in all the earth, Lord our Lord, is thy name, who has thy glory far advanced above the starry frame. Psalm number 8, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Winchester. Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.